And the Bible is very clear, and the Bible is always right. How many know the Bible's right? The Bible talks about the fact in the last days, knowledge shall increase. And because knowledge have increased, what we have done is we have grabbed hold of knowledge, not understanding that the knowledge that we're grabbing hold to is knowledge that comes from the world. We understand now Greek, we understand Hebrew, we understand history, we understand culture, we understand those things, and all those things are earthbound. But few of us have taken a glimpse into the realm of the kingdom to understand the kingdom. The kingdom of God have suffered violence, and that violence have been taken by force. It is our desire for us as believers all across the nations of the world to understand that our purpose is to bring the kingdom of God down on earth and to overthrow what the enemy is doing in the lives of people. If we do not do this, then what happens is that the enemy wins and that thousands and millions of people will be lost forever. It is so important to God that we recognize that our position in the earth is essential to bringing lost souls to his heart. They came from his heart, and he wants them back to his heart. And it's our job, and it is our opportunity to do so. And only if we can submit ourselves to the mandate that God has given us, then what we'll find is that God will empower us to do the job. How many want to be empowered by God to do the job? Amen. All right. So let's just read some scriptures. And the first, then we'll go into some things. And then I'm not going to talk long, because as I begin to minister in the word, you should be expecting the manifestation of the word. Amen? Amen. So whatever you need today, how many here are feeling any pain in your body? Anybody got any pain in your body? I got one, I got two, I got three. Okay, anybody else? Four. All right. So as I begin to talk about this, I want you to trust and believe the word. Trust and believe the word, and the pain will begin to diminish and go away. All right? Everybody listen to what I'm saying. And those of us that don't have any pain in our body, I want you to begin to declare and begin to pray and begin to say, Lord, manifest your power. Amen. Somebody say amen. All right. So let's go to St. John chapter number 4. Somebody say the power of God is here. And I say that, and I'll tell you why in just a minute. Somebody say the power of God is here. Amen. If you were here on Thursday, and I would encourage, this is a commercial, I would encourage you to come to Bible study. We're studying about the unseen world. And there were some clips that we showed up on Thursday, and we have some more for you. But it tells us and it shows us how the unseen world operates and how things happen in the unseen world to affect your life visibly. And we need to understand that we're not going to let this, the devil, just take over. Amen? Amen. We have power and we have authority in the word. Somebody say amen. All right. St. John chapter number 4, and I'm going to start with verse number 22. You worship know not what, for we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jew. Notice what he says here, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father, first of all, in what? In spirit, and in what? Truth. Now notice what it says, for the Father does what? Seeketh such to what? To worship him. So there's two imminent factors that you and I must comprehend. First of all, you have to have the Spirit of God. All right? How many have the Holy Spirit? If you have the Holy Spirit of God, then that's the first qualification. Because the Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. Amen? If you have the Holy Spirit in your life, it qualifies you for the Father to seek you out. Okay? That's the first thing. The second thing is in truth. Now, here's the thing. Kenneth Hagin, many years ago, doing the healing movement, doing the healing crusades back in the 1950s, late 50s, early 60s, made this statement to a lot of healing evangelists. And you should take note of this. Because a lot of times people want to move in the Spirit, but they don't want to have the Word. And what he did was he taught many of the ministers back during that particular day. He says, I don't care how the Spirit use you, but if you do not have the Word, you're going to fail. And many of the ministers back during that particular day, they came on the scene and they had mighty moves of God. But because they did not gravitate to the Word of God in their being, which has to do with character, amen, has to do with, and I'm talking slow on purpose so you can get it, it has to do with character, it has to do with how you deal with relationships, and it has how you deal with leadership, and it has to deal with your servitude, amen. And many of the ministers that came on the scene that had mighty moves of God, they failed, and they failed because they did not have the Word in their heart. You cannot move in the things of God the way that God wants you to move in unless you have the Word of God in your heart. If you don't have the Word of God in your heart, then you're not going to be able to move in the ways that God would have you to move, especially in this day. Because God wants His Word to be first. Somebody say the Word first. God can use a donkey. God can use animals. God can use anything to move upon people. But God wants a living witness of who He is inside of you. Amen? He wants to show you His love, and He wants you to show others His love, and that can only be done through character. I tell people this all the time. You can come up for prayer, and God can use somebody to heal you, and it could be just powerful. But the one thing that people will remember about people is their love for them, their character for them. They'll remember somebody doing something good for them before they remember that they got healed by that person. Amen. Now, why? It's because love covers a multitude of sin. And not only does it cover a multitude of sin, but what it does, it draws. The Bible says, with love and kindness have I done what? Drawn them. So somebody say, I need to be drawn. Okay? God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in what? Spirit and what? Truth. Now, it's necessary for everybody that's in here to listen carefully what I say. The worship that God is looking for inside of every one of us has to come from the heart. And if you do not worship Him, God cannot respond to you. Amen. How does that, what I mean by that? What I mean is that God is just not going to come up to you and just automatically do something for you when you don't even care about what He cares about. God wants to move in your life because He knows that you're His child. This is something that the Bible talks about. It says that many shall come in that day and they shall say, Lord, Lord, have I not done this? Have I not healed the sick? Have I not cast out devils? Have I not done this? Have I not done that in your name? And the one thing that God is going to tell them that is going to shock many people is that He's going to say, I never knew you. I never knew you. Now, analyze that He says, I never knew you, which means that He never had fellowship with you. Now, Adam, when God first made Adam, he tells Adam and he talks to Adam and he fellowship with Adam in the cool of the day. The Bible says the voice of God walked with Adam. Amen? Which means that Adam was familiar with the voice of God and he was familiar with the word of God. And most people today, they don't want to be familiar with the word. They just want to move in the spirit. I don't know why I'm going this way, but you cannot move in the spirit without the word. You've got to have the word and you've got to fall in love with the word. You just cannot be fall in love with one scripture. You got to fall in love with all the scriptures. Hallelujah. Whether that you like it or not, you've got to fall in love with all the things of God. Amen. God doesn't want a piece of you. We used to sing a song, 99 and a half won't do. Hallelujah. Why? Because God doesn't want 99 and a half. He don't even want 99.9. He wants all of you. 100% of you. And if you're sharing your life with anything else that there is in your life, then there's a problem. Because God wants all of you. When he says, I want all of you, that means that he wants your worship. He wants your praise. He wants to know who you are. He wants to know everything about you. He already knows about you, but he wants you to know who he is in your life. Amen? Somebody ought to say amen. Now listen, every time that God speaks, something should happen. Now, let me tell you, there are three things, and I'm going to talk about this. Worship is the gateway to the realms of God's access. Or in other words, worship is the gateway to God's activated word, to activate the anointing, and to bring in the realm of glory. Amen. Somebody ought to say amen. You cannot just hear the word, because if you hear the word, you ought to be activating the word. Amen. So if you hear the word, there should be an activation of the word that comes out of your heart. For instance, the Bible says, and this is very common to all of us, it says, by his stripes, you are healed. How many know that word? When you read that word, there should be a revelatory activation in your mind regarding the healing power of God. Something should be happening when you read that word, because the word is alive. How many know the word is alive? Jesus says the words I speak are what? Spirit, and they are what? Life. So that means that if they are spirit, that means that they are alive. How many know the spirit is eternal? And the spirit houses the power and the activation of God's word. Amen? And so what we're going to talk about is the realm of the word, the realm of the anointing, and the realm of glory. Somebody say amen. Amen. So when you hear this, then you ought to activate it. Now, right now, in this room right now, if you were to tap into the unseen, what you'll find is there is angelic host all around here. You'll find that there is demons standing around too. And you'll find that there's people that have dim light and there's people that have great light. You'll find that there are people that have ailments in their body, and you'll find that there's people that have mental oppression that's going on. You find all of this in the unseen world. And if you don't know how to see it, then you'll miss it. Because what appears isn't always what is reality. Ain't nobody saying nothing. And I'm trying to be as clear as I can on this, because I believe this is an important subject for us, because of the fact that where God wants to take us to as individuals, corporately, and to the world. The world is getting worse. And the only thing that people need to see is the supernatural of God. And if you cannot walk in the supernatural, the world is going to swallow you up. Because the world is walking in supernatural oppression. They're walking in supernatural evil. They're walking in demonic assignments that are heavy. There are darkness over lands and over cities and over countries and over families. These darknesses have got to go. Somebody ought to say amen. And you have been chosen by God to dissipate the darkness. You have been anointed by God, been chosen by God to cause the enemy to run. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will do what? Flee from you. Or I like the interpretation is that the devil will run from you as in terror. Amen? When the enemy sees you coming, he ought to be scared. Ain't nobody saying nothing. But I know that a lot of people don't recognize this because many of us have become blinded to the situation of the unseen world because what we have seen is that what we live. Everybody know the Matrix. You've seen the Matrix, right? And there was a pill that was offered to Neo. He had the blue or the red. One pill was going to give him the reality, and the other pill was going to allow him to stay in the reality that he was actually living in. He took the pill that was going to show him what was really going on behind the scene, and his eyes became open to what was really going on. And those that did not understand or did not have access to the red pill, I believe it was the red pill, they lived a life just on just the normal matrix. They did not have an opportunity to see what was really going on. You, every one of you, have been given blue pills to give to somebody to know what their reality really is. And you've got to be able to give it to them so they can see it. Satan is out to get and deceive the world and to cause havoc in the world. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. And if we do not understand who we are in Christ, we're going to cause them to die eternally. And we can't allow that. Somebody say, I can't allow it. All right. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 21 and 23. Matthew 21, verse number 23. The realm of the spoken word. How many know that when the word is spoken, something should happen? Something should happen. And you know why it happens? It's because you have faith. You believe. You understand that God is trying to do something. You understand that when God speaks a word, it should be active. How many know the word is active? How many know the word is active? How many know the word is active? Amen. Even if your heart doesn't agree with it, your mouth should start agreeing with it. Amen. A lot of times we don't say anything, therefore it shuts us off from hearing. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. So if you want to activate your faith, you got to open your mouth up and you got to open your ears up to hear the word so that the word can be activated in your life so that you can hear it, see it, manifest it, so you can have joy. It is the joy of the Lord to give you the keys to the kingdom. It is the joy of the Lord to see every promise in your life manifested. How many want your promises manifested? Don't let the enemy trick you out of what God promised you. You ought to be fighting with your tooth and nails. You ought to be fighting to the death to make sure that God, promises of God are actually activated in your life. All right. Notice this says. It says, and when, verse 23, And when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was what? Somebody say it, teaching. As he was teaching. And he says, by what authority do thou do these things? Who gave you this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, by which if you tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority do I do these things. Now remember, Jesus goes into the temple and he teaches. When he teaches not like anybody else. He teaches with what? Authority. Somebody says with authority. Obviously, if you teach with authority, you know what you're talking about. If you don't know what you're talking about, that means that you don't have faith in what you are saying. And if you don't have faith in what you're saying, then that means you have no authority in what you are saying. When Jesus began to teach, there was authority given. And that authority that was given manifested a word. And manifested an atmosphere. And manifested something that will happen that will cause something to change. If you don't know the word, you cannot teach the word or manifest the word because you don't have the authority in the word because you don't know who you are. Turn to Luke 5. Luke 5. St. Luke 5 and verse number 15. But insomuch the more when there a fame abroad of him, great multitudes came together to do what? To hear, right? What did they come to do? They came to, first of all, hear. Notice the order. The scripture never goes out of an order. There's an order. That's why the scripture is written the way it is. There's an order that is put in, and you should mimic that order because in the order of God, there's patterns. If you find the pattern, you find the secret. Great multitudes came together to do what? Hear, and their desire and their need was to be healed by him of their what? Infirmities. Now, notice, they came with an ear to hear and with a need. And Jesus, and it says, and he withdrew himself in the wilderness to pray. So those of you that minister, those of you that understand that when people come to hear and they have a need, you have an obligation to get into the realm of the spirit. Verse 17, and it came to pass on a certain day as he was doing what? As he was what? Teaching. That means that he was expounding on the what? The word. He was talking about the word. He was declaring the what? The word. And there was what? Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. There was people that had high knowledge, but that didn't matter. Which came out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And guess what happened? As he was teaching, in spite of who was present, the Bible says, and the power of the Lord was present to do what? To heal them. Did you get that? They came to what? Hear, and they had a need. He withdrew himself to pray. He comes out of prayer, and he begins to teach the word. Somebody teach the word. It did not say preach the word. It says teach the word. As he begins to teach the word, in spite of what the atmosphere was like, the presence of the Lord was still there to heal. That means that God's presence was there to do the work. Somebody said it was there to do the work. And if you're hearing today, guess what? The presence of the Lord is here now to do the work. Somebody said, do the work, Lord. All right. Now, notice what else happens. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with what? Palsy. And they sought means to bring him in, to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitudes, they went up on the housetop and lay and let him down through the tiles with his couch in the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, somebody said faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven. I mean, right there, you ought to be shouting almost right there. You ought to be shouting right there. Because now notice what happened now. I'm going to go back over it again. Somebody say the word. Okay. The word created an atmosphere. Now remember, they heard about Jesus and they came to do what? To hear, and they had a need. Jesus goes into prayer. When he comes out of prayer, what he does is that he what? He teaches. In spite of what was going on in the atmosphere, the presence of the Lord was still made available. Why? Because somebody had faith. Somebody believed. Somebody understood that if I can just get near him, get near to the word, I will receive something. Amen. And when they let him down in front of him, notice what happens. Jesus did not say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. He did not say, by his stripes, be healed. The first thing he goes to is the center of the problem, why he's the way he is. He discerns by the Spirit what the problem is. And the first thing that he says is that sins are forgiven thee. And knows what happens. And the scribes and the Pharisees begins to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemy? Who can forgive sin but God alone? And when Jesus perceived their thoughts and answered unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin. And he turns and he looks at the man that was sick with palsy. And he says, I say unto thee, rise, take thy couch and go into thy house. And notice what happened. The atmosphere was so charged with the power of God as a result of the word. Immediately he rose up before them and took up thereof he laid and departed in his house, glorifying God. Somebody else say glorifying God. So what happened? There was a hearing. They had a heart to hear. And I'm telling everybody here today, the atmosphere is already charged with the power of God. All you got to do is have an ear to hear. If you have an ear to hear, many of you got needs. Don't you have needs? You got things that you want God to do for you, right? So you got to have an ear to hear, amen? And you got to be able to have a need, amen? And then you got to be able to listen to the word. If you listen to the word, the atmosphere becomes charged with the presence of God. Somebody say, I need it charged with the presence of God. Because somebody needs something right now. Somebody need a healing right now. Somebody need your pain to go away right now. And if you hear the word and understand that the word is here and is present to heal you, because I'm declaring right now, by his stripes, you are healed. Right now, you're healed. By the power of God, you're healed. The pain is going away right now because the word is in the atmosphere. And the word is in the atmosphere. And because the word is in the atmosphere, it is charged with power. And because it's charged with power, the atmosphere is ready. And all you need to do is have faith to believe. And if you have faith to believe, then God will go right down to your issue. And what we need to understand is that the very thing that activates the power when the word is actually there. See, the power is already here. It is already charged in the atmosphere. It is already here. Somebody said, it's already here. It's here. Why? The kingdom of God is here. Because when you speak the word, you are not speaking from this realm. You are speaking from that realm. There is a power that is in the atmosphere. There is an echo of the anointing that is already in the atmosphere. I'm going to talk about the anointing in just a minute. I'm not going to keep it all along, but I want you to understand that the power of God is here right now. And the healing power is here right now because the word is spoken. By his stripes, you are healed. Have faith and believe. Have faith and trust. Even if you don't understand it, say, I believe. Say, I believe the word. Say, I believe the word. Open up the scriptures and don't let it just become just words on a page. Let it become life to those that hear it, those that receive it, those that can embrace it. You can hear. Somebody says that God's desire. God does not want you sick and busted up and broke and all messed up. He wants you to be healed. There's family members that need to be healed. There's people in your life that needs to be healed, and they need to hear a word. But what they need to understand is that in order for the word to activate in their life, if the word can be standing right there and the healing power can be standing right there, but if you have no faith, the Holy Spirit can't do anything. You got to believe. You got to know that God is able to do it. Somebody said God can do it. There's many other scriptures that the word talks about that is activated. And Matthew 8, 1 through 4, and Matthew 8, 5 through 13. But I want you to turn to Acts chapter number 19 real quickly. Acts chapter number 19 and verse number 20. See, the word is not just used for healing, but the word is used for overtaking. Somebody say hallelujah. The word is used to overtake you. There are some areas in some of your lives today that you've been struggling with. There are things that you've been struggling with. It could be finances. It could be people. It could be situations. It could be relationships that you're struggling with. And a lot of times, people, because it's a situation, because it's a bill, because it's lack or whatever it is, many people don't equate that with the activity of the enemy. They think that it's just the way life is. It don't have to be the way life is. You can change it. Why? Because you're in the kingdom. And notice in this scripture, I'm just going to give you a little bit of the background here. They come to this city. The apostles come to this city. When they come to this city, several things happen in this city. And I'm just going to read a little bit. And it came to pass that when Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesians and finding certain disciples and said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believe? And they said unto them, we have not much as heard whether there be a what? A Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? He said, unto John's baptism. And then Paul, John verified, baptizing with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which shall come after him, which is on Jesus Christ. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid their hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they began to speak with tongues and prophesy. And all the men were about 12. And they went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for a space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom. And yet there was men in that city that was against them. And I'm just going to skip down. It was men in that city that came against them. They had Exodus, and they had the witchcraft. They had evil spirits. They had all these things that's going on in the city, and you can read that for yourself. But I want you to go down to verse number 19, but I'm going to just read a couple of verses. And they continued to preach the word in spite of what was going on in the city. They still declared the word. Somebody said, I declared the word. They still preached the word. Amen. They still talked about the word. They still encouraged people with the word. They did the work of Jesus Christ in that city. Miracles was wrought because of that word. Verse 17 says, and this was known of all the Jews and Greek also dwelling in Ephesus. Fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. See, what we need to understand is that when the ministry is going forth, when the word is going forth, we're magnifying the name of Jesus. This is where our praise, this is where our worship comes in. This is where we go for it. Because when we magnify the name of the Lord, and the Bible says, and many that believe came and confessed and showed their deeds. And many of them also used curious art, brought their books together, burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them, and it found it to be 50,000 silver pieces. And verse 20 is what I want you to see. So mightily grew what? The word of what? And did what? Prevail. Now, most people read the Bible and they don't think the Bible is real. They don't think there's the word is living. It is a living word, and it would not prevail if it wasn't living. The word prevail. Somebody said the word prevail. Say the word prevail. So you ought to be operating in the word. Somebody said, I need to be operating in the word. Say, I'm cooperating in the word. So you ought to declare the word. Whatever area in your life that you need, you ought to be declaring it right now. You ought to be finding the scripture in the word that says that I'm going to read this word. I'm going to hear this word. I'm going to submit myself to this word. I'm going to have faith in this word until it manifests. I'm going to do it until the word prevails in my life. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Don't let the enemy stop you. The second thing is the anointing. Every single person in here, if you have the Holy Spirit, you are anointed. Somebody say, I'm anointed. And not only you are anointed, you have tangible power inside of you because the kingdom is inside of you. The Bible declares that you are carriers of the glory. Somebody say, I'm a carrier of the glory. And because you are a carrier of the glory, the presence of God is right there inside of you. And most of us don't even recognize the presence of God that's right there in us. God has anointed you, which actually is interpreted this way. God has put his hand on you to perform a certain service in the kingdom. Or if you would like this one better, he has empowered you by his grace to perform the supernatural that results from the kingdom. How many know that you're anointed? Are you anointed? Somebody say, I'm anointed. Somebody say, I'm anointed. If you are anointed, then these are the things that God says that you can do. Mark, chapter 16. Somebody say, I'm anointed. Somebody said, I'm anointed. The anointing can be activated without the word. Remember when Peter, mother was sick. Remember him? When his mother was sick, she had a fever, right? Jesus comes up out of preaching, out of a crusade, comes out and comes to the house, and she had a fever. The Bible says that he didn't preach to her. He didn't give her a word. He didn't do any of that. What he did was he touched her and rebuked the fever, and the fever what? Left. And here's something else I was amiss, and I have to say this. Okay. When you are obeying the word, many times God will give you a word, but the manifestation of that word doesn't come until you begin to obey that word. Remember the man that's got spit in his eye? Remember Jesus spit on him? Spit and clay, remember? Everybody remember? He took this dirt and he put it in his eye. And he told him, now remember, the word is talking. The word told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. It was a 3 days journey that this man walking down the road for 3 days with spittle clay in his eyes. when he did exactly what the word told him to do, he received. Amen? Sometimes you got to obey the word until before you receive. Amen? Amen? Got quiet. Listen to what this says about the anointing. I'm going to go back to the anointing. The anointing is resident on your life. Mark 16 and 17 or and 16 says that he that believeth and baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that what? Believe. In my name they shall do what? Say it real loud. They shall do what? Cast out what? Devils. They shall what? Speak with what? New tongues. They will have a heavenly language. First of all, cast the devil out, which is the influence in people's lives. Then they were able to communicate with heaven because now they can become born again. And when they become born again, they get a heavenly language. They shall take up serpents, and if they shall be any deadly thing, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not what? Harm them. They shall lay hands on the what? And they shall do what? They shall recover. You are anointed. If you want to know what you're supposed to be doing in the kingdom, this is what you're supposed to be doing. Casting out devils. Speaking with tongues. If anything come against you, it shall not hurt you. You shall lay hands on the sick. And the Bible says they shall do what? Recover. Why? Because you are what? Anointed. The last thing is the realm of glory. The realm of glory is where you don't just get the presence and you just don't get the anointing, but you get heaven to invade everything. You get heaven. You get the angelic host. You get the entire realm of heaven comes into an atmosphere. And that atmosphere becomes charged with the presence and everything that's attached to the presence of God. Come in and it becomes part of the atmosphere. You get angelic activity. You get angels coming in and being and manifesting. You get the shadow that is actually on your person begins to manifest. Acts chapter number 5. You can turn it there. Acts chapter number 5, verse number 11. And great fear came upon all the church. And that's one of the problems that we have in the church today. People don't have a fear for God. We don't have a fear for God. We don't have a fear for his presence. The Bible says that right now, all of us are sitting in what kind of places? Heavenly places. Are you sitting in heavenly places? Now, let me just ask the question, and all you can answer this in your own mind. If God was to make himself visible right now, what would you do? And because you can't, and because we don't see him, we sometimes think that he's not there. But the truth of the matter is that the Bible says that we now sit in heavenly places. God's presence is here right now. What are you doing? What are you doing in the presence of God? Because if you understand that he's here, your problem doesn't matter. If you understand he's here, your situation doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what life is bringing you. You understand that God is still in the miracle working business. You understand that God is still worthy to be praised and you will still praise him. You will still give him glory and you will still give him honor in spite of what you're going through in your life because you know the Prince of Peace is here. You understand that God is here. You understand the presence is here. And you know if he's here, everything about him is here too. If you understand that, then you are literally in the position to call those things out and change your life forever because you trust and you believe and you understand that who he is in your life. Okay, notice what it says. And the hand of the great fear came on the church, and as many as heard these things, and by the hand of the apostles were what? Many what? Signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with what? One accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, that no man joined himself to them, but the people did what? Magnify them. And the believers were what? The more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and what? So the key to church growth is to magnify the Lord. For Jesus says, if I be lifted up, he will do what? Draw what? All men unto me. Insomuch that they brought forth what? The sick into the streets. They laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might what? Overshadow some of them. Amen? That means that they were living in the realm of glory, because even their shadows had the power and the presence of God upon them. The kingdom was upon them, and because the kingdom was upon them, the power and the presence of the Lord was there. And we can activate that atmosphere of glory even right now. There came also a multitude out of the city, because they heard about what was going on. There came a multitude out of the city around about in Jerusalem, bringing sick folk and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every single one. It wasn't Jesus doing the healing. It was the extending of his hand. It was the apostles that sat under his feet. They were doing the healing. And the Bible says that every single one was healed, because they were in the realm of glory. They were in the atmosphere of the presence of God. They learned how to worship God out of their hearts and not out of looking and out of thinking about what was going on. They magnify the Lord because he is Lord. He is King. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is worthy to be praised. And somebody ought to give him praise because he's worthy. So much so. Look what happened. And the high priest rose up, and all that were with them, which was in the set of the Sadducees, were filled with indignation. And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the prison, common prison. It doesn't matter about what happens to you. God always got your back. But notice what happened. Because they're living in the realm of the supernatural, because they're living in the realm of glory. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison door and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they had heard that, they entered into the temple early morning and taught. And the high priest came, and that they were with them, called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. And what the story goes on to say, they killed the guards because they didn't understand how they got out. They got out because of the fact that God was being glorified in the midst of the people. Because God's glory was there, and because God's glory was there, and because he was being magnified, supernatural things were happening. And I'm wondering today, do you want the supernatural things to happen in your life? Do you want to walk in the supernatural? You can't be scared of the supernatural. You got to put yourself in the supernatural. You got to understand that everything is depending on you. Changing people's life is depending on you. People want change. And they don't want fake change. They don't want to come into a church that they go out the same way. They want something to happen to them. Otherwise, why come? They want to see something. They want to experience something they never have experienced before. And that's why God wants to remake you. He wants to redo you so you can be used by him. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It's too bad. And I think sometimes, and I think about what was said about There was a bunch of priests that came together and they was counting all the money that they collected in the church. They said, we have church buildings. We have gold. We have silver. We know how to gather crowns. And one of the other priests said with his head down, we have the silver, we have the gold, we have the people, but we don't have the power. What good is it if you don't have the power? What good is it that your life doesn't change? Why come to church? Why gather yourselves if your life can't be changed? God wants to change your life. He wants to change things about you. I know sometimes that when we hear a word, we don't really understand it, but God didn't say that you had to understand it. He'll give you the wisdom to understand it. That's where revelation comes in. Revelation does not come from man, it comes from God. And if he wants to give you the revelation, he'll give you the revelation. But the thing that we need to understand right now is that God wants to change your life forever. He wants you to walk in the things of the supernatural. Many of you have got people that are sick in your home. How many got people sick in your family? Just raise your hand if you got people sick in your family. If you got people sick in your family, then you are responsible. You have a mandate to go and ask them, you know, can I pray for you? You have a mandate to say, you know what? The Lord can heal you so they can know him. And if they refuse, they just refuse. But you have an opportunity to go and make a change in their life. Are you listening to me? You have an opportunity to create an atmosphere that is conducive for God's presence to be manifested. It is you. Don't close your ear. Don't shut your spirit down. Don't make religious statements or traditional statements that says, you know, well, I don't believe all of that. Test and try. Test God out. See, won't he do it? Test him out and see, won't he work back up his word? Try what he has said and see, won't it work? It will always work because God, the Bible says that God watches over his word to make sure that is what? It's performed. But you first got to believe it. You first got to try it out. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. So we're going to stand on our feet.